Listen, we better skip this town. This is the place where they're having all the trouble. Cops? No, murders by the hundreds. Some kind of monsters killing people and drinking their blood. Ooh, it gives me the creeps.
Imagine being that thirsty.
Oh, very funny, Miss Ghoul.
Sci-fi action podcast. Allow this to be your cure as well.
Hi, and welcome to A Cure for the Common Craig. I'm your host, the Common Craig, and this is Nicole. Say hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
I was trying to be you.
Did that sound like me?
That was my Craig voice.
Oh. I didn't realize I sounded so dumb.
Hey! You called me dumb!
I did not say that! It's been a while since we've done an episode, Nicole.
Has it?
Yeah, it's been a while. For you, it's like, gotta have to do this so often, I hate it. But really, it's been a few weeks since we've recorded. Like, probably like, you know, what, 3 weeks or something since we actually recorded the episode.
To 4th of July.
Yeah, we did that one like 3 weeks ago. That's when we recorded it.
I guess you're right.
God. Anyway, you have no sense of time.
I really don't have a sense of time.
You don't know what's going on in the world.
Craig.
So we had a couple episodes. We had the episode about the bees. Do you remember an episode about bees?
I do. Adorable bees. Animals all out attacks.
Yes. They attack and they're bees.
Uh-huh.
We had that episode. And then we had an episode where it was Independence Day versus Uncle Sam for the most patriotic movie of all time.
Uh-huh. I remember
No one responded saying which they thought was the most patriotic movie of all time. So we just have to assume that everyone agrees with us that it was Independence Day.
That's right. It's...
Yes, Poppy. Now, someone that we know, his name is Matt from Kansas. Matt from Kansas sent a little note about... Because in the bee episode... The episode about bees,
uh-huh.
Bees, adorable animals, all out attack. We talk about the movie The Swarm and some other disaster movies from the 70s. And then also, you know, we kind of talk about Independence Day being kind of one of those big, like, disaster type movies almost,
sure.
Too. Even though it's like a sci-fi extravaganza, but really, like, with the cast, we said it had similarities to sort of the disaster movies from the 70s. Matt from Kansas, he said, hey, what was the first disaster movie ever? What was the first one?
Wow, did you do some research?
So I looked into it a little bit.
I was going to say, did you just know?
No.
Or you had to look it up? Okay.
I'm not that much of an encyclopedia of old movies, Nicole. Poppy thought I was. Way back, Nicole, way back in 1901.
1901?
1901. You didn't even know that filming was possible in 1901, did you?
Oh, I did think it was a little later than that.
Well, way back in 1901, there was a movie called Fire! With an exclamation point. Fire!
Fire. Was it a silent movie?
Yes, it was silent. There was no speaking in the movie, I'm sure. I haven't seen it. God, I don't know. Maybe if you look around on the internet, you can find it. Maybe it's on YouTube. I don't know. But Fire from 1901, maybe it's lost. Maybe it's one of those movies just lost and no one will ever see it again.
Yeah.
But basically what it was firefighters putting out like a fire or fires is really what it was. But that's an early example of kind of like a, you know, disaster movie caught on film. Disaster on film in a movie.
It's kind of, that was probably like a real fire too.
Probably like, was a real fire.
Like
maybe.
Not just like
so
a
you
set.
Think it was a documentary.
It's like the first documentary.
Oh my God, the first documentary ever, Fire, 1901. We got it right there. We don't know if that's actually true. Now, in 1912, something happened, Nicole. Do you know what happened in 1912? The Titanic sank.
Yeah.
So, in 1912 and then 1913, there were two movies, also kind of classified as disaster movies, that are based around the Titanic. One of them is clearly German because it's called In Nacht und Eis, and that is 1912. There's another one called Atlantis from 1913 that is actually apparently about the Titanic. Then later on, you have Noah's Ark in 1928. You have a movie called Deluge. Thank you. I was having a hard time getting that to sound right. In 1933, and then in 1935, a movie called The Last Days of Pompeii. Also, Nicole, there's a movie that came out in 1933 that was on this list of early ones. It's a movie called King Kong. Now, would you consider King Kong a disaster movie, Nicole?
No. That's classic monster fantasy.
Yeah, I think it probably is too. I feel like, you know, you could look at it and argue that, like, King Kong being brought to New York and then running wild and, you know, destroying a bunch of things in New York is a disaster. You know, those are disastrous things that happen.
Yeah,
but it's really more of a monster movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so too.
Run amok in New York.
Run amok in New York, not in Pompeii. So, Matt from Kansas, I guess that's a little bit of information about early disaster movies. If you would like to find out more about early disaster movies, what you can do is research it, and Matt from Kansas will make a documentary about early disaster movies.
There you go, Matt from Kansas. That's your next assignment.
That's the challenge to Matt from Kansas. So early in the month of June, Nicole, this is July, but in June, I watched a couple of movies, one from the 90s, and then one from the 2000s, because I tend to kind of ignore those time frames a little bit.
Yeah.
So I watched a movie called I Know What You Did Last Summer from 1997. I haven't seen that movie since we saw it in the theater way back when it originally came out.
Yeah.
And man, it was a struggle. I know that it has its fans. Like, people really like I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It didn't age well for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, for me, it did not work very well. You know, you got Jennifer Love Hewitt. You got Sarah Michelle Gellar. These two ladies with three names. And, you know, I want to like the movie, but man, I did not. I did not like it.
So was it, just pop culture aging?
There was like some soundtrack like elements that irritated me, like songs in the soundtrack that like you've never heard since they were in the movie, and like you never want to hear them again. They're just terrible. Terrible
like songs late 90s crap.
Yeah, just terrible. And I heard just the movie overall is just very bland and dull, and it takes a long time to get anywhere. Like, you have the incident at the very beginning that kind of sets off the rest of the movie, but then after that, it's just like, what's happening? What's happening? And, like, it just drags and drags.
I guess you don't want to know, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, too.
Yeah, which is called, I think, I Still Know? What is that one? I don't know.
I still can't. Know what you did last summer.
Yeah, something like that. I Know What You Did Last Summer again. Remember when I knew what you did last summer?
No, that's
I'm
not
I'm making
it.
Things up. But then I also watched a movie from the year 2000.
Okay.
Do you remember the year 2000, Nicole? That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, Y2K.
Y2K, that's right. And that movie was called Final Destination. The original Final Destination, because there was another one.
Oh, is that the one they got later off the plane?
The Final Destination. Yes.
They get
off the plane because, you know, like this guy has the foresight that it's going to crash or explode midair.
Yeah.
And so some of them get off, and then, then death has to like come for them because death missed its chance to get them, you know? And I feel like that one was pretty good.
I kind of think that I've seen that one since, and it's like a secret from you or something.
You kept it
like,
as a secret. You didn't want to tell me.
I'm just going to watch this and not tell Craig.
And I feel like I've seen at least one of the sequels, because there's a scene that I remember being in the movie that wasn't there. So, like, it must have been one of the sequels. But, yeah, I can't remember which one it was.
So, that one aged a lot better.
But, yeah, I thought that one still held up. It held up better than I thought it would. It was okay. It also had, like, you know, soundtrack problems, songs from, like, the year 2000. And it was just kind of like, and, you know, all of those movies, like, in the 90s like that, or any show from that era, too, they're always rubbing the soundtrack in your face. They're always, like, you know, like, even on, like, Buffy, they had, like, you know, like, songs that would be, like, kind of, like, you know, spot lit on the show, you know, like,
sure,
here's a song from this artist. Isn't that awesome? No, it really isn't.
Craig.
No, it's not. So, anyway, yes.
That's your opinion.
That's right. That's my opinion. Yes. And it could be incorrect, everyone. But on this show, it's the correct opinion.
But on Craig's show, it's Craig's opinion.
That's right. Damn it. Now, Nicole, did you know that our friend Jade has her own podcast?
Yes.
With this guy named Brad.
Yeah, Jade and Brad.
And it's called Parlay with Brad and Jade.
Yes, I knew that.
Well, they recently did an episode on the movie The Crow. And also then talked about, like, the comic book series, yeah, The Crow. So I listened to the episode, and I was like, you know, and even before that, The Crow was featured on this show on Shudder, and the show is called Cursed Films.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's only like 5 episodes of Cursed Films, but I watched them, and The Crow was one of them, because, of course, it's not a spoiler. Brandon Lee, who was the son of Bruce Lee, during filming of The Crow, he was killed in a tragic accident on set.
On set, yes.
So, yes, Poppy. So it's a cursed film as a result of that incident and some other incidents that happened later
on. As well, yeah.
So I started watching The Crow while you were in the room one night. And then I got like, I don't know, maybe like, you know, halfway through or something. And you're like, I'm out of here. You got up and you just left. So Nicole wasn't that interested.
I guess I couldn't take it anymore.
She wasn't that interested in seeing The Crow. But
I didn't really remember that's what The Crow was like.
What did,
like,
you think it was?
I don't
was?
Know. I thought it was cooler than that.
Oh! Nicole hates The Crow! Anyway.
I just seem to remember it differently, and maybe I'm mixing it up with another movie?
Are you mixing it up with the sequel? Crow, City of Angels. Because that's a piece of garbage. I think there was another sequel, too, that I haven't seen. And then there was, like, a TV series they talk about Parlay with Brad and Jade as well. But, anyway, The Crow, I still think it's pretty good. I don't love it. Like, I feel like it's a little dated, but not too dated. Yeah, I still think, like, back in the day, it was a little overrated. Because everybody was like, oh, The Crow, this movie's the best movie ever. And it's not. But it's okay. It has its moments that are entertaining and pretty good. What I do like is the soundtrack for The Crow, it does fit what I enjoy. Because you have people like The Cure.
Uh-huh.
You have The Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
It's really just Nine Inch Nails. You have Rage Against the Machine. You have Helmet. You have Pantera, Nicole's favorite band, Pantera. And you have, like, the Rollins Band, who I always kind of appreciated Henry Rollins, but I was never really a fan of, like, the Rollins Band music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then, Nicole, also on the soundtrack, I'm sure I'm forgetting other people that I shouldn't be forgetting, but you also have a band that we really like and have seen a lot over the years, My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult.
Yes.
And Nicole, the best thing about the movie The Crow is there's a scene where The Crow kind of, like, enters this room where they're having, like, this meeting of all, like, the bad guys. They're all meeting in this at this long table. You know, all the criminal masterminds.
Criminal element.
The crime bosses. They're all meeting here to talk about how they're going to, like, burn the city down on Devil's Night. And that's what it's all about. And I don't know why they want to do that. I don't get it, really. But anyway, they want to burn the city down because they're crime lords and they're going to make a profit off of it somehow. I guess from then, like, rebuilding the city. I don't know what their scheme is. Anyway, the crow comes in and they start fighting. You know, there's this fight scene, mm-hmm. but it's set to My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, their song After the Flesh. And they're playing that, like, in concert down below in this venue. So it'll cut back and forth from them on stage okay. to, like, the fight. And that's my favorite scene in the movie because after that I'm kind of like, I can never...
I want to listen to the Thrill Kill Cult.
I can never remember the ending to the movie because, like, after that scene it's just over for me. Like, all right, yeah. it's done. They should have just cut the movie right there. The crow fighting. And then, you know, it's over.
It's over.
Yes. Anyway, so the music for The Crow, I still think the soundtrack, that one for me, personally...
Holds up.
Holds up. I enjoy that one. Not all the songs.
Not
but,
all of them.
But, you know, okay. half the songs, maybe, something okay. like that. This is Nicole's birthday month, everybody.
And Craig actually let me pick the theme for this episode right
yes.
here.
Yes, and she was so excited about one movie in particular... But then all the other ones, I just threw in a bunch of
yeah, thriller. Craig just may only let me pick one.
Oh,
and then
God.
He had to pick the other.
Craig is such a jerk.
Man, Craig. You should have let me pick more of them, though.
Well, let's talk about what kind of theme, before we get into the movies, okay. we won't reveal the movies yet. Let's talk about
so,
the theme here.
It was a very simple theme, and my theme was summer.
Summertime!
Summertime!
So... We could have done... You know, what were some of the movies that you said that we could have done?
Well
you said Jaws?
I said Jaws, and then you're like, no.
Well,
because yeah, I have reason, to do something different with Jaws.
No. Now, the reason was because you had already put the one movie out there. That's the one you wanted to do, and that one was set in stone. So, I didn't think Jaws fit with this other movie that well.
Okay.
Because of what it is. And then there was another movie that you suggested, which I believe takes place in August in the Texas heat.
In the heat,
and
yeah.
what happens in Texas, Nicole?
Well,
Chainsaw massacres.
Chainsaw massacres happen in
That's
Texas.
What happens in Texas. So, but yeah, that one too, I was like, well, that doesn't really fit with this other movie that you already picked.
Yeah.
Plus, that movie should just have its own episode.
Oh, my
down
goodness.
The line. Oh, man.
Good luck with that.
Oh, you're going to do it. I'm going to talk you into it. So those were a few of the movies that, you know, you threw out there. You said that
right,
we could
but
do.
I was but gonna do. I was going to give it some harder thought.
Yes, of course. Some harder thought.
But you just said, well, let's do this, this, and this. And I said, okay.
Yeah, because I wanted to watch some bad movies. So that's what we ended up doing.
They were pretty bad, guys.
Why are you trying to hurt my feelings?
Not my movie. Not the one I picked.
Yours was an A+. A+. All right. Well, all right, listeners. Think about what movies in your mind...
Personify summer for you.
Remind you of summertime. Yes.
Right.
Or movies that maybe you watched during the summer. Think about that, and then we'll come back to that at the end. But, Nicole, let's take a quick break here, and then let's get into our focus of fear... Which will be the movie that you selected that you were so gung-ho about wanting to see, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Focus of Fear.
Okay, Nicole, so here's the movie that you've been wanting to watch for a while. You've been wanting to rewatch this one, and you were like... Trying to find an excuse, trying to find a way to work it in, and you worked it into one of the episodes even. You even just got an episode and said, this is what the episode's going to be about, this movie.
Well, because I wanted something that said summer to me.
This said summer. What else does it say?
I like goofiness.
Goofiness?
Raunchiness,
Nicole.
It's raunchy.
I hope your mother doesn't listen to this.
I do think this movie's pretty raunchy. It's funny, though.
It's raunchy, but, Craig.
Funny.
It's funny. It's fun. You know what this movie is, Nicole? It's just fun. It's a good, fun time.
It's just fun.
It's fun.
Okay.
What is this movie, Nicole?
Okay, so it's Broken Lizards Club Dread.
Broken Lizards Club Dread.
So they're the comedy troupe Broken Lizard.
Who are they?
They're a comedy troupe.
Okay.
And they've done several movies. I think about 5 or 6.
Huh.
Something like that.
Okay.
So they're a comedy troupe, and they write and direct the movies.
Huh. Are they, do they star in the movies too?
They star in the movies, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So Club Dread was the one I picked. And they're, you know, they've done other movies like, I think their first one was called Slammin' Solomon.
What?
Was that right?
No. All right. So Broken Lizard, they were formed, Nicole, in 1989.
Really?
A long time ago. So these guys, the five main guys, they all went to the same college together, the same university.
Okay.
And the university is called Colgate. Like the toothpaste, Nicole, Colgate University.
Are they
in Hamilton, New York?
Oh, okay, it's in New York. I would just assume they were from Canada.
You thought they were Canadian because most good comedy troupes, like the Kids in the Hall, are from Canada. Those good old Canadians up in Canada.
Thought they were Canadian.
Yes. Actually, Hamilton, New York. And the main, apparently there were more members at one point, but they kind of fell off over the years or something. So it's really like these five main people that are in Broken Lizard.
Right.
Do you want to hear who they are?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So you have Jay Chandrasekhar. You have Kevin Heffernan. Steve Lemmy, Paul Soter, and Eric Stolhansky.
Okay.
And if I mispronounced any of those names, I'm sorry. The most difficult one for me as a very, very white man to pronounce is Chandrasekhar. Yep. But I looked it up, and apparently that is the correct pronunciation. Okay. Because you can't screw his name up on the show, because he's like, in my mind, he's always like the main person.
But
from
I don't. They say they don't have a main.
I know, but he's just the one that does most of the like directing of the movies.
I think Kevin.
Kevin Heffernan also.
Kevin
directed
Heffernan
a movie.
Directs. Yeah.
Yeah, he also directed one of them. But okay, so they had a college movie back in like 1996 called Puddle Cruiser.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
I've never seen that one. I don't know what
I've
that one's all
about. I've
not
seen that one. Yeah.
Then Nicole, kind of the big one for them was Super Troopers.
Super Troopers.
In the year 2001.
And I know people will have seen that one, but 2001, you know, is longer ago than we realize.
How long ago is it, Nicole?
19 years.
19 years ago, that's right.
But
you know, 2001, that's longer ago than we realize. So, yes.
Sorry, I'm sorry about that.
Super
guys.
Troopers. It was funny. Super Troopers, yeah, that's probably the one that's going to stand out for most people. Like, they've heard of Super Troopers.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas maybe Club Dread, they haven't heard of it.
Right, right.
And the reason is because Super Troopers actually did very well. It, like, they screened it at, like, the Sundance Film Festival or something. And it then got, like, a major release in theaters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it ended up doing, like, $20 million worth of business or something like that. So that's pretty good for just, like,
a small
comedy.
And they even had a sequel to it.
They did. We'll get to that. So after Super Troopers, then they did Club Dread in 2004. Now, I won't talk about the financials for this one yet. We'll get back to that. But then after that, Jay Chandrasekhar, he directed the Dukes of Hazzard movie in 2005. So he directed it, but then also all of the members of Broken Lizard had like at least cameo appearances in the movie.
Appearances?
Yeah. Appearances. And they at least had cameo appearances in the movie, yes. So, Craig, you big dumbass. Now, then in 2006, due to the, you know, the studio, you know, pull that they had from him directing Dukes of Hazzard, they got Beer Fest made in 2006.
I think
now, wait, hold your opinion. We'll save your opinion for the end of this. We'll get back to what our favorite Broken Lizard movies are. Because that's you're trying to ruin it.
Okay.
All right. And then in 2009, Nicole, what did you say earlier? The Slammin' Salami or something?
Solomon.
No, it's called the Slammin' Salmon.
The Slammin' Salmon.
Like a fish. The Salmon. Have you seen that one?
No.
I've never seen it either.
I've never seen it.
We've never seen The Slammin' Salmon. Well, I know what we're going to be doing after we're done recording this episode. And then, yes, they did Super Troopers 2 in 2018, so quite a bit later, another 9 years down the road. And that one was one that they'd been wanting to make for a while, apparently, and maybe studios were turning up their noses at it. They couldn't get the funding or something. So what they did was they did, like, some crowdfunding, like a Kickstarter or something.
I think they did a TV show.
A TV show?
Tacoma PD. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't seen that. What's that all about?
It had, like, Kevin Lemmy?
Steve Lemmy.
It had Steve Lemmy and another one of the guys in it.
I don't know anything about that one. That wasn't,
I thought that wasn't in my list. That's kind of what brought on. Look it up on IMDb.
Okay, yeah, so we're going to look this up, Tacoma. Tacoma FD, I believe, is what it is.
Okay.
And yes, a TV series. Oh, well, no, this is more recent, Nicole. This is from like 2019. So, a comedic look at firefighters battling their own boredom is the description on IMDb. But no, this would have been after Super Troopers 2. So,
and it has a few of the
this
guys.
This is Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemmy in the show. Yes, there they are. See right there. There are the pictures. Okay. So, they're in the show. But yeah, okay. So, we'll watch that one too, Nicole. We'll get you that one too. So, you can see all the Broken Lizard stuff. Because Nicole loves Broken Lizard.
I do like these guys.
Anyway, so yeah, Super Troopers 2, they did, yeah, crowdfunding, like a Kickstarter or something similar to get funding from fans, really, to do a sequel to Super Troopers. And we watched Super Troopers 2. It was okay. It's not as good as the first one, in my opinion, but it was still fun. And then they also produced a movie in 2012 called Freeloaders, another one where they had a lot of cameos in it. And the reason I'm going to mention this is because it gives us an opportunity to bring up Clifton Collins Jr. again, who we talked about in the movie Stug. We talked about him in Fortress. Clifton Collins Jr. is in that movie, too.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so let's get on to the movie here, Nicole. The movie Club Dread that you chose.
Club Dread.
Nicole loves Broken Lizard.
Yep.
And I think you just love comedy troupes in general.
I do not.
You don't?
But I like Kids in the Hall.
I think you appreciate some comedy troupes.
I do like Broken Lizard a lot.
There's something about it that appeals to you. But yeah, I love the Kids in the Hall too. And also Broken Lizard, yeah, I like most of these movies.
I pretty much love every movie that they've made that I have seen.
I feel like, you know, the Broken Lizard guy, they don't get enough credit. But Club Dread, okay, it came out in February 27th of 2004, Nicole. You don't think about how long ago 2004 is, Nicole.
That's a long time ago.
So, it's rated R. It runs 1 hour and 44 minutes. It is listed on IMDb, Nicole, as a comedy, horror, mystery.
Well, and I realize that there is some horror and gore in this movie.
Yeah, there's like...
So, well, I felt like it qualified.
Yeah, and it's kind of a, yeah, like a slasher spoof.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't it, Nicole?
I wouldn't say pure horror, but definitely a
not necessarily
spoof.
Pure horror, but yes, a slasher spoof for sure. But yeah, it's listed as comedy, horror, mystery. Come on, that's fine. So, the IMDb plot summary synopsis, Nicole, you want to hear it?
Sure.
Here it comes. When a serial killer interrupts the fun at the swanky Coconut Pete's Coconut Beach Resort, a hedonistic island paradise for swingers. It's up to the club staff to stop the violence, or at least hide it.
I don't know if it's that sounds all true, because I just think of Coconut Pete's Island. What's it called? Pleasure?
Coconut Pete's Coconut Beach Resort.
Oh, well, according to IMDb, it's just kind of like a spring break.
Yeah.
Island.
I don't know if the people there are actually on spring break, but I think they are.
I feel like they are.
Or they just went there to have fun at the Coconut Beach place, whatever. Okay, Nicole, so besides the troop, Broken Lizard, who obviously are in the movie, there's one main character, really. The island is named after the character. The character's name is Coconut Pete. And, well, Nicole, Who plays Coconut Pete?
Coconut Pete is Bill Paxton.
He's passed away, Nicole. But Bill Paxton is in the movie. He was still alive at this point.
Yes.
Starring in Club Dread. And right. Coconut Pete, what's this character all about, Nicole?
I feel like Coconut Pete is really like an aged, washed up Jimmy Buffett type guy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely kind of a play on Jimmy Buffett in general. Although, right. in the movie, they are really rivals.
Right. He's like, man, that other guy. And
yeah.
he points out, everybody knows that's who they're talking about, that other guy.
Yes. Now, there is a scene where he's singing, like, they're singing, like, songs on the beach.
Yeah.
And, yes, one of the guests calls out to him to sing Margaritaville,
right.
which is a Jimmy Buffett song, and he gets very, very offended. Like, what?
Like, what? And everybody, like, stops and stares at her. Like, it's a major mistake she's
yes,
made.
Yes, she has made a, as they say, Nicole, a faux pas.
She's made a faux pas.
Yeah, this is serious business. Because right. apparently, yes, the Coconut Pete character wrote a song very similar to Margaritaville years earlier, before Margaritaville was recorded. So, yes, he accuses Jimmy Buffett of ripping him off, really.
Yes, yeah.
Excuse me?
Play Margaritaville. I love that song.
Darling, I think you're referring to my song Pina Colada Berg.
No, Margaritaville.
I think you mean Pina Colada Berg. The song I wrote 7.5 years before Margaritaville was even on the map. Of course, you wouldn't know that because you weren't even born yet.
Come on, Hawks, y'all. Let's get us a drink.
I don't need to shit.
Come on, man.
But, yeah, he's just an old hippie guy that really just wants to get high, drink, and get some girls.
Yes. Get the ladies on the beach. He's a beach bum, Nicole.
He's a beach bum, yes.
That records songs, records music, and has this resort.
Right, right.
And the only reason he has the resort is so he can get the ladies there and get the
exactly.
the drinks and, yeah, all of that.
Yeah. So he's a good character for the show, you know.
Yes.
And then there are, you know, some auxiliary characters. There's
the supporting cast,
the
Nicole.
The supporting cast. And, you know, you have a lot of Brittany Daniel. I think she plays Jenny. You have Lindsay Price that plays you.
And you's name ends up being a joke in the movie that kind of, it keeps coming up like, yes.
Like, hey, you.
Yeah, that's, yes, that's one of the simple jokes that come up, I'm sure. But yes, you anytime, yeah, you is like substituted for Y-O-U-U and like,
yeah.
Yeah, it, you know, it's ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous, but it's funny and they don't seem to realize it's funny.
Yes, they don't really seem to get it, but you as the audience are supposed to, you know, think it's amusing.
Right. There is a funny name that they keep mispronouncing, and who plays Penelope?
No, Penelope. Penelope is played by Jordan Ladd. And Jordan Ladd's been in some other things over the years. She was in, like, Cabin Fever. That's a horror film, Nicole.
Yeah.
She was in Death Proof with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's Jordan Ladd. She plays Penelope, who is the love interest of Steve Lemmy's character, Juan. Steve Lemmy, a member of Broken Lizard,
right?
Of course, Nicole.
And Juan is kind of like the dive master, the water sports guy.
You think he plays water polo, Nicole?
I have no clue.
Let's say he does.
Okay. Well, he keeps calling her Penelope.
Penelope.
Oh, that is a beautiful name. Penelope. Penelope. It's breathtaking.
Thank you.
So, tell me, what brings you here to us, Penelope?
And that joke, Penelope, comes from when Jay Chandrasekhar and Kevin Heffernan saw the movie Carlito's Way in the theater way back in like 1993, and some movie patron came in, sat behind him, and went, Penelope Ann Miller's came up as a cast member on the screen, the guy behind him said, "Penelope, what kind of stupid name is that?" or something to that effect. So, you know, I guess they thought that was so amusing that all the years later, in Club Dread, they decided to work that into a movie.
That every Penelope is now Penelope.
Penelope, yes. Like, you know, you and your friends, Nicole, I'm sure you have running jokes.
Oh, I'm sure
Penelope was a running joke for these guys in Broken Lizard.
Yeah.
Who are the other members of Broken Lizard? Who else do you want to talk about? Jay Chandrasekhar, he plays the character Putman. What goes on with Putman in the movie?
He's the tennis pro, and he has this English accent, and it gets made fun of quite a bit, especially by one of the islanders, the island visitors.
Yes, one of the guests. He was also in Super Troopers as a minor character. Yeah, he's just kind of a jerk to Putman. Oh, no. And then you have Kevin Heffernan, Nicole, playing a character Lars, who's the masseuse. Who's just arrived on the island because the former masseuse, I don't know what happened to that person. They left or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they were killed. I don't know.
I don't remember. But Lars, anyway, Lars has a crush on Coconut Pete, like a man crush.
What?
Yeah, like he has, like later on in the movie, you see like that he has this like secret like altar to...
A shrine?
A shrine to Coconut Pete. And he loves all the songs, and it's kind of amusing.
Yes. But now Kevin Heffernan as Lars, as the masseuse, he has some abilities.
Yeah, anyway, he, like...
anyway, Craig, yeah, what does he do?
He can touch you and do, like, pulse points.
Yes, he has some sort of magic touch that he uses that, like, when he touches you, it seems to, like, give people, like, some sort of extreme sensual pleasure...
Yes, and...
You don't want to talk about that because it's embarrassing, but that's what happens in the movie. Member of Broken Lizard, Paul Soter, plays the character Dave, who's kind of a lesser character in this one. You know, it's kind of... It varies from movie to movie which of the Broken Lizard members is kind of more of a standout cast member in that particular movie,
like,
it seems
who's
like.
Who's more of a forefront actor.
Yeah.
So... Paul plays this character Dave, which is actually Coconut Pete's nephew, and it seems like Dave is just really there to provide ecstasy and drugs. I mean, not that ecstasy is not drugs, but just seems like he's there to provide drugs to people.
Yes. And you have Eric Stolhansky, who plays the character Sam. What does Sam do?
Sam's the fun police.
The fun police, Nicole? What does the fun police do?
I don't know. He's making sure everybody has fun.
I guess if someone doesn't have fun, they're arrested by the fun police.
And then I guess he creates situations where people that aren't having fun can have fun.
That, I don't know. I don't know if I like the sound of that. Okay, so in the movie Club Dread, Nicole, what really happens in this movie? It starts out with this kind of, like, flash forward rather than a flashback, and you've got a couple of the sort of supporting characters that are staff members that get knocked off pretty quickly by what, Nicole? Who?
So, there's a murderer on the island.
A murderer loose on the island? What does this murderer typically wield, Nicole, as a weapon?
Well, a machete.
A machete? Nicole! Where do all these machetes come from in all these movies?
Well,
I don't think there are enough machetes in the world that, you know, to equal what appears in these movies.
That's right. That's what I always say. But then I'm kind of reasoning that an island is going to have more machetes than, like, a residential town.
You think so?
I think so.
I think there's a lot more things to cut down on an island.
Yeah, like an island with a jungle or a wooded
area. If it's tropical, huh?
Yeah. They're going to have machetes.
But didn't you say that your parents probably have like more than one machete at home?
Yeah, but that's for like...
They don't live in a tropical island.
Yeah, but you get those grapevines that crawl over everything.
Grapevines? Your parents make wine?
No, but there's a lot of vines that grow all over everything, and you have to have something to cut them.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Ivy.
But then, anyway, you kind of then flash back in the story to when, you know, people are arriving on the island. Yes.
Yeah.
Coconut Pete's there. He's welcoming everybody to the island, you know, playing his... dumb little songs, but some of them lyrically are kind of funny and amusing because they're just really bad.
They're really bad, but they are, like, you know, just a play on play on...
A play on Jimmy Buffett having terrible songs. Yeah, that's really what it is.
And then it's...
Jimmy Buffett's going to be really upset when he listens
to
this show.
I really,
he's an avid listener of A Cure for the Common Craig.
I've only heard the one song.
You have not.
Yeah.
Which song?
The tequila one.
Margaritaville?
Yeah.
You've heard Margaritaville, but haven't you ever heard the song, Nicole? Cheeseburger in Paradise?
Not the whole thing, I don't think.
You've only heard bits and pieces.
I've only heard
bits. I've never heard the whole thing.
I've only ever heard Margaritaville.
Well, you know, that's more than enough, I would say, because you've probably heard it too many times.
Come on, it's not that bad.
It's pretty bad. So, then the rest of the movie becomes kind of this mystery element.
Right.
It's a horror spoof, a slasher spoof. So this machete killer is going around the island killing people.
But he's only targeting... Well, that's not exactly true.
But mostly
only targeting staff members.
Yes. Gotta knock off those staff members.
That's
which
right.
leads them to believe that there must be some sort of vendetta... A former staff member attacking or something.
Right.
And they tell a story, in fact.
A machete Pete.
Yes.
Or machete Phil.
Machete Phil, is that what it is? Yeah, I knew
it
was something like
Phil.
That. Well, it's probably not Pete, because there's already Coconut
Pete. There's already
Pete. Coconut That would be too many Petes in the movie. So Coconut Pete, Machete Phil, who something terrible happens.
They tell it at the bonfire, and then... You know, they drop their pants and...
Yes.
It's a big joke.
And apparently, yes, he may have gotten something...
Cut off with his machete.
Lopped off, and we'll just leave that to your imagination,
right.
What that may have been. A certain body part.
Yeah.
Yes. What else happens in the movie, Nicole? Are there any scenes that stand out? I remember the scene where they're like, there's this maze game that they're playing.
Yeah, so they're playing maze... Real life Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's like a real life Pac-Man with real people.
And there's people dressed up like, you know, like fruit. And...
Some of the ladies are dressed up like in, you know, they're dressed up in like colored like dresses or shirts or something, aren't they? And then like, don't they have to like change their shirt if like
yes.
the music changes to where like the Pac-Man is then in pursuit
exactly.
of the ghosts? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're fruit. People dressed up as fruit, yeah.
And Pac-Man has a yellow shirt on, and he's got to get to the next place and drink the beer, basically. And that's his power-up to chase the ghosts, which are the girls.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
There's a scene of, like, Juan, played by Steve Lemmy, gets caught in, like a dressing room-like thing, and... He's dressed as a watermelon, I think, and he might be, like, doing something to a pretzel. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, they catch him doing that. And then Penelope hears about this later.
Yeah.
And, you know, she seems a little upset.
She's a little jealous. Yeah, so there's just lots of shenanigans that go on.
Of course.
With the staff and the island people.
Just in general.
Not island people. The
guests.
The guests on the island.
Yeah, they aren't really island people.
Well,
like, no native islanders.
There's people on the island. I didn't mean native islanders.
I understand, yes. The movie continues with these silly, goofy jokes and shenanigans going on. And you've got, like, you know... Suspects, because that's like the mystery element. You know, you're not sure who it is. You know, at one point they think it's Lars. At another point they probably think it's Putman. And, you know, it just kind of cycles around.
It cycles around from you know, who's the machete maniac.
Yes,
you know?
Who could be the machete maniac.
Who it is.
But then at the end, yes, there's a scene, Nicole, where they're jumping off like a cliff to escape into the ocean.
Well, because the
who's there at the time?
So Lars, the masseuse. There's Juan, the water sports. There's Penelope, who's the guest, and then there's Jenny, who's like the aerobics instructor.
Yes.
So they all jump off this cliff, and Juan's like, "When you jump off, you have to squeeze your asshole because
you're what, Nicole?"
Because water will go up and paralyze your intestine, and, you know, it's just a funny saying, and then everybody jumps, and of course, Jenny goes, "Oh, my asshole."
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, then there's, like, a climactic, like, water battle at the end.
Yeah, of course.
Where they're trying to escape the island, and of course, you know, like, there's, like, the showdown in the boat then at the end, which is, you know, to be expected. Like,
yeah.
As the movie's going along, you figure this is going to happen at some point. But we're not going to say who the maniac is.
Right.
We don't want to reveal
that. We're not
going
to spoil it for you.
Yes, because maybe you haven't seen Club Dread, or maybe you haven't seen it for a long time. Maybe you're interested in Broken Lizard, and maybe you'd like to watch the movie.
Right. So you should definitely watch this, the Club Dread, because it's a total summer movie.
Well, it's your favorite summer movie of all time, because you were bound and determined to talk about it on this episode.
No, I just wanted to see it really bad.
Club Dread, Nicole had it, and you had seen it before. Though.
Oh,
this
yeah.
wasn't the first time. Club Dread, Nicole had an $8.5 million budget. Wow. I guess maybe it was the resort. Maybe Bill Paxton took up like $5 million of it. I don't know. But man, yeah, that seems kind of steep for a, just like a comedy, you know? And it didn't do very well at the box office, I'm sorry to say,
no.
my dear. It did $5 million domestically,
no.
7.6 worldwide. So overall, it didn't make back its budget, no. And unfortunately, maybe that threw a wrench into the works of Broken Lizard doing,
maybe
you know,
so.
A lot more movies. I don't know. But this was 2004. So then they, you know, J. Chandrasekhar did direct The Dukes of Hazzard after this, as
yeah.
we said. And then they were able to do Beer Fest. But, yes, its opening weekend, it made $3 million. It opened, though, at number 10 that weekend. Number one that opening weekend, a movie on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, The Passion of the Christ, Nicole, made $83 million in its opening weekend. So, $80 million more
yeah.
than Club Dread did.
Wow.
So, apparently, Jesus is more popular than Broken Lizard, Nicole. I'm sorry.
Well.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so, yes, Club Dread, a movie from Broken Lizard. Now, we talked about how we were going to say what our favorite Broken Lizard
well,
movie is, our personal favorite.
Alluded.
Well, you did. You spoiled it already because you're like, now Beer Fest is... And I was like, no, wait a second, Nicole, wait. So I'm going to guess, Nicole, that Beer Fest is your favorite Broken Lizard movie.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
And I think that Beer Fest is also my favorite
okay.
Broken Lizard movie. I feel like it's the one that I can be talked into watching very easily.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think Beer Fest is just all the jokes are, like, hit for me.
They all hit home for you,
they,
huh?
They,
oh, man.
They just are funny.
But, yes, Super Troopers, like I think we said, that one ended up doing, like, $20 million worth of business at the box office. Beer Fest, it was close to that, too. I think it was, like, $18 million or something like that. The Slammin' Salmon did not do very well, but only because it had a very, very limited release. It was
yeah.
only on like 11 screens or something like that. So I think it, yeah, only made like, you know, $45,000 or something like that, $50,000. So, yeah, it wasn't really like a major theatrical release. Super Troopers 2, however, that ended up doing pretty well. I think that was close to like $30 million.
Okay.
I don't know what the budget was for that one. But, yeah, so overall, Club Dread was their least successful other than the Slammin' Salmon, which you can't really count because it was only on like 11 screens.
Yeah.
Club Dread, their least successful as far as the wide releases
wide
go.
Wide release
yeah,
movies.
It was definitely a bit of a bomb. But, I, you know, I hadn't seen it for
I
a very long
time.
I
still think it's a good movie.
And if you like Broken Lizard, if you like sort of dumb comedies, it, yeah, I think that it does have some merit. It is
yeah.
It is funny. If you like Broken Lizard, you, yeah, should definitely watch it. If you like Super Troopers, if you like Beer Fest, if you like the Slammin' Salmon, I guess, which we haven't seen yet, but I guess we're going to have to watch after the show recording.
Yeah.
Super Troopers 2, then you should probably watch Club Dread.
I think you should.
Okay. Nicole wants to see Club Dread again right now. Let's go watch it.
Well, right not now. Right now.
Let's watch the Slammin' Salmon right now.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Okay, Nicole, so yeah, you were desperate to talk about Club Dread, desperate to rewatch Club Dread, looking for some kind of an excuse to watch Club Dread. So you came up with this summer movie gimmick, and I thought, well, Club Dread, that's an island, it's a beach resort. You know what we need to do? We need to watch some other beach-related horror films. The first one that came to mind, Nicole, was this one.
Blood Beach.
This is a movie that I grew up, I remember seeing this one, like the cover of the
VHS,
the VHS cassette.
Okay.
And on the cover is, and I've seen this over the years, for years, artwork from this movie, this cover, of a woman wearing a bikini on the beach getting sucked down into the sand on the beach.
Okay.
And, you know, I've seen this for years, this image, and it's always kind of been in my mind, but I've never seen the movie. So I thought, hey, this would be a really good excuse to watch Blood Beach for this
beach horror kind of movie.
Summer episode. And we watched it, and man, Nicole, we probably shouldn't have watched it.
We probably shouldn't have watched it. But you know what I was just thinking? You said you saw the cover art. Like, in no time was a person in a bikini sucked down into the sand.
Oh, no, no. You're wrong.
What? Am I wrong?
Because, yes. This movie, yes. Okay, so Blood Beach. We'll get back to this. So, Blood Beach, 1980. This was released in, well, it says it was made in 1980. And then it has a release date of January 28th, 1981. You know, whatever. It's rated R. Runs 1 hour and 32 minutes. It's listed here on IMDb, Nicole, as a comedy, horror, sci-fi movie.
Comedy?
And comedy, okay, so, yeah. This movie needed more comedy.
This movie needed more levity.
Definitely.
For sure.
It needed Nicole's levity in the movie. She should have been in the movie making some jokes, because the person who's in the movie making the jokes, really the only one making jokes, is the actor Burt Young of Pauly Rocky fame. He plays the character Pauly in the Rocky movies. And, like, he makes some jokes, but they're all really, like, mean. Like, he's a really mean character. Like, somebody will die. And then, like, you know, like, something about, like, somebody's eyeballs or something. Like, he makes a joke about, like, hey, what color eyeballs did your girlfriend have? Or something
like that.
Yeah. And, like, yeah. So, like, anyway, yeah, like, so he's, like, really the only comedy in the movie. But, you know, it's not very funny. The movie is really, really dull, Nicole.
It is really dull.
So IMDb says this about Blood Beach. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, man, this is a really long one. Something or someone is attacking people one by one on the beach. Some of them are mutilated, but most of them are sucked into the sand, disappearing without a trace. What is the creature responsible? Where does it live? And where does it come from? And is there any chance of it reproducing? Meanwhile, David Huffman and Mariana Hill are once almost married old friends, reunited. Oh my God, this just keeps going on and on.
Oh my
God. Over
the
death of her mother on the beach, and searching for clues in the abandoned buildings where they used to play when they were young.
Oh my God.
All right, so really, that plot summary is way, it's like really over the top.
That's almost as long as the movie.
Yeah, it really is. So Blood Beach, this is it's kind of an oddity because it hasn't had a release since the VHS days. So it's been released on DVD in Germany, apparently,
okay.
But there's been no like DVD release, no Blu-ray release of Blood Beach. So, yeah.
Because everybody knows how bad it is.
Apparently everyone, like Nicole, hates this movie.
About 45 minutes was all I was going to take. And then I got sucked into, like, longer until it ended.
I mean, you kept watching.
I did. You watched
the whole thing.
But I should have quit. I should have quit at 45 minutes.
Yes, you have David Huffman as Harry. You have Mariana Hill as Catherine. Burt Young, like we said, plays Sergeant Royko. And John Saxon, another veteran horror actor, plays Captain Pearson. And I said we were watching this. John Saxon usually ends up playing like a cop in a lot of movies. He's a police officer very often in movies. He's in the original Nightmare on Elm Street. He's in the Dario Argento movie Tenebrae, which maybe we should talk about someday. But yeah, comedy, horror, sci-fi, man, the comedy is sorely missing from this one. But yes, there is a scene, because that was the main thing to me, is I didn't expect anyone in the movie to get sucked into the sand at all. I just assumed that was like a gimmick for the poster, yeah. Like it was just going to be a mad slasher or something on the beach killing people.
Sure.
But no, yes, someone in a bikini does get sucked down into the sand pretty early on. It's one of, like, the kids. Like, one of the kids on the beach, like, gets sucked down into the sand. So, really, yeah, it does happen. And I was surprised when this movie was going that, yeah, people were actually sucked into the sand. And more than one person...
More than one.
...is sucked into the sand.
Yeah, I think the first person I remember seeing is an older lady walking her dog.
Well, yeah, that's at the very beginning of the movie.
To be, like, the main...
Yeah, that's Mariana Hill, Catherine... the character Catherine's mother, yes.
Mother, right. So that was, like, the first one that I saw get sucked down into the sand. So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is pretty, like, if you're thinking about it, walking on the beach and you just get sucked into the sand like that could be pretty horrifying, I guess.
Suddenly, you get sucked into the sand.
Suddenly, you're getting sucked into the sand. You don't know if it's, like, you know, quicksand or what's going on.
Yeah, who knows what's going on here. On Blood Beach.
On Blood Beach.
Which is actually in Santa Monica. It's the Santa Monica Pier.
Right.
The movie cost approximately $2 million to make. That was the budget. I figure most of it was just due to the location. Shooting in Santa Monica is probably where most of that money went. The writer-director is Jeffrey Bloom, who also later on directed in 1987 Flowers in the Attic, which I don't remember that well. It has to be a much better movie than Blood Beach, though, I would assume, based on the V.C. Andrews book, right? Flowers in the Attic, of course, Nicole. But Blood Beach, ultimately, pretty dull, really. Very bland.
It was pretty bland. A lot of just, like, walking and just not saying much.
just a lot of walking and people not even talking. They're not even walking and talking at the same time, Nicole. They're just walking, and then they'll stop. And then they might talk for a couple of seconds.
Well, the main character, he is exploring this old, like, rundown building, you know, they used to play.
Well,
and, like, it's really just a lot of nothing that he's looking at.
And what we watch is, like, it's an old, like, VHS rip. So it's a VHS version of the movie. It's all dark and, like, you can't see anything. It's all grainy. And, yeah, so he's walking around looking at things and we're like, what is he seeing? We can't really even tell what's... What is he looking at? I don't know. Is that a plant? I don't know. So, yeah. So, really, we're going to spoil the movie because you're not going to be able to see it unless you look around on the internet and you find it like I did. Maybe it's on YouTube, like, just like somebody put it on there. I don't know. But there's, like, what is causing the problem, Nicole?
So, anyway, so it looks like this giant cactus.
Yeah. And, like, I've seen it described as, like, kind of like a Venus flytrap kind of plant or
something.
Well,
I guess. It just looks like a giant cactus-looking thing to me.
Yeah.
That, like, can funnel under the sand.
Yeah.
And I said, suck people down.
Maybe it's like a, you know, an underwater sea creature kind of thing. Yeah. You know, like, one of those, like, animals that looks like a plant. You know, it's disguised as a plant. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Anyway, they did find its lair. And yes. I guess they, like, the cops counted, like, the remains of 16 different people. So I think that's kind of where it got interesting.
For a couple seconds.
For a couple seconds. And then they're deciding, like, how to kill this thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's not in its lair, but they're staking it out.
Yeah. And they decide then that they're going to find a way to blow it up. That's the idea.
Right, right.
But then a scientist...
Of course there's a scientist
A doctor
involved.
Or something in the movie, you know, suggests, hey, maybe, you know, what if we blow this up? And then the parts of it that are blown apart, you know, like, become their own creatures, their own versions.
Right.
Like, they, you know, they regrow.
They can, regrow, like... You know, like starfish or some lizards can regrow their tails.
Sure.
And starfish can regrow their arms. He's liking it to them.
Yes. And then, like, the final scene as the credits are about to roll, and even as the credits roll, they're showing, like, these little, like, holes in the sand, like little, like, sinking areas in the sand, and multiples of them. So, yes, you're led to believe that that is exactly what's happened. And yeah, it sets it up for like a sequel, I guess, although that never happened, of course. But yeah, a few things that I did find amusing in the movie. There's a rape attempt, which is, no, that's not amusing. But the attacker, he's like on the ground, and he actually has like his penis bitten off by this underground creature.
Yeah.
And that was kind of amusing, because then in a subsequent scene where Burt Young's character, Sergeant Royko, is like talking to someone else or something, some kids run up to him and they say, "We found it! We found it! We found the guy's wiener!" And they like throw a hot dog at him. And yeah, I know, it was just that scene, you know, like, okay, that's one part of the movie that made me laugh. Like, I got a kick out.
Like less than 3 seconds long.
Exactly, yeah.
Classifies it as a comedy.
It's a comedy. That's one bit that I actually did find amusing in the movie.
We found it! We found it!
Oh, come over here, these low-life kids.
But also, there's a tagline on the poster, but then also they use it in the movie. In Jaws 2, like, the whole idea was, you know, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, Jaws 2, don't do it. You know, don't go in the water because of Jaws 2. Well, in this, they use that. They say, and this is, John Saxon's character even says the line in the movie. It's on the poster, but then he says the line. He actually delivers it in the movie.
A mess. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, you can't get to it.
You can't even get to the water because the beach is eating you.
It's eating you. You can't even get to the water.
Oh, man. So those are, you know, just a few things from Blood Beach that were slightly amusing, I suppose.
I thought it was pretty excruciating for me to get through. I would not recommend it.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like if you want anything out of Blood Beach, just look at the poster. I should have just stuck to just my image, the image of the poster, that memory in my mind, and just stuck with that. Although, you know, it was good, I guess, to finally see the movie.
I guess.
But, yeah, it was not good.
I should have stuck to my first inclination, and that was to get up and stop at 45 minutes.
The California coast, playground of America, until something deep beneath the sand turned it into Blood Beach. The water may be the safest place to be. Rated R. Opening January 23rd at theaters near you.
So then, Nicole, I watched another movie. I put another movie on because this movie, it had been released on Blu-ray by Severin, the company that I like that releases Blu-rays and DVDs, things like that. Severin. They released this movie called The Horror of Party Beach. I noticed that this one was on, we don't have the Blu-ray of this one, I noticed that it was on Amazon Prime. So, The Horror of Party Beach on Amazon Prime, I'm like, alright, I'm going to turn it on, I'm going to watch it. This one is from 1964, Nicole, and it is 1 hour and 18 minutes. It first debuted in New York City, April 29th of 1964, and then got a wider release on June 1st. Probably at a lot of drive-ins, I would suspect. This definitely seemed like a drive-in kind of a movie.
Yeah.
It only had a $50,000 budget and is listed, Nicole, on IMDb as a horror musical.
Well, there was quite a bit of music.
There is some music in it.
Playing
on
the beach.
And yeah, there's a band that's in the movie called the Del Airs. And yeah, they do a lot of like songs like just like during
dance,
the movie, while the movie's going on.
Dance
beach movie music. Yeah. So, Nicole, the IMDb description of this one, The Horror of Party Beach. Sea creatures created from radioactive sludge terrorize a beach community.
Okay.
And that seems about right.
That seems
because
about
you
it.
You did see some of this movie. You
yeah,
watched some
I watched
of it
some of it.
Before you got up and left. But this movie, yes, it starts off with, yes, some people dumping radioactive waste into
the ocean.
A body of water.
Yeah, I guess it was the ocean.
Some sort of ocean. There's only one ocean in the world, Nicole. Dumped it into the ocean. That's not true, listeners. There are more than one ocean in the world. Okay, just so you know. Anyway, so yes, the radioactive waste dumped into the water, and of course, yes, bad things happen because of this. We see underwater a skull underwater, and somehow, like, the radioactive waste, like, creates a body around this skull and, like, reanimates it, and then there are, like, multiple creatures later on in the movie somehow.
Yeah, it's movie magic. We're not meant to understand how that happened.
Yes, this is movie magic, yes. It's directed by Del Tenney, who went on to also do The Curse of the Living Corpse, also in 1964. Apparently that was filmed at the same time. That one actually stars Roy Scheider, who was later Chief Brody in Jaws. That's kind of weird. I'm going to have to watch that one just so I can see Roy Scheider in The Curse of the Living Corpse. Also, he did a movie called I Eat Your Skin in 1971. Nicole doesn't like the sound of that.
I don't like the sound of that.
Oh, my goodness. No. This stars John Lyon, who plays the main character Hank. Alice Lyon, who plays his love interest. Maybe it was his wife. I don't know. Anyway, she plays the character Elaine. And then you have Alan Laurel playing Dr. Gavin, who is actually Elaine's father in the movie. And then you have Marilyn Clark, I wrote her down as well, who plays Tina, because at the beginning of the movie, Hank is all about Tina.
Yeah.
And they're together as a couple, but they're immediately having like a fight at the beginning of the movie. And the dialogue right there was classic.
It was pretty good.
If like it was terrible, but it was absolutely fantastic. If the rest of the movie carried on with that kind of dialogue through the whole thing, I would have just loved the whole movie.
I mean, Tina's dialogue was pure brat.
Yeah, Tina was great.
Tina was great.
And she was such a terrible character.
Like, person.
Yes.
She was just, she only thing she wanted to do was just have fun.
Just have fun. She didn't care who it was with.
She didn't care who it was with. She didn't care
she who didn't need
it
Hank.
Was hurt. Mm-mm. Anything about
no.
it.
No, nope.
I think she played a very good character,
yes.
which you love to hate.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe the acting wasn't top notch, but it was still a hell of a lot of fun watching her.
But lay off the booze, Tina. You've had enough.
Today, Tina and alcohol are going to have a great cocktail.
Look, you booze it all you want, but you better lay off me. You better stand on your feet, because if you fall on your face, I'm not going to pick you up, you understand?
When did you ever have to carry me home? I've always been able to stand on my own two feet. I never needed you, and I never will. Say, what happened to the campus big shot who'd do anything for kicks?
Campus big shot's growing up. Times have changed, Tina. We're not a bunch of kids anymore. I've got plans. You can do all the partying you want. You just better stay out of my way.
Stop preaching.
So when are you going to get it through your head that life isn't just all fun and games?
Okay, no more lectures. We're not even talking the same language anymore. All right, if that's the way you want it, then you just go on your way. And I'll go mine. We'll see who gets the most out of life. Oh, brother, you ain't seen live until you've seen Tina swim.
Anyway, so, yeah, the horror of Party Beach. It's only an hour and 18 minutes, but I think I told you, they probably could have cut, 20 minutes out of it. So if it had been, 58 minutes, I probably would have been happier with it. You just get kind of bored overall because it just becomes, this run-of-the-mill, monsters chasing people kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just keeps happening and, over and over. It just kind of drags it out. So, really, not a whole lot happens. Apparently, this is a favorite of Stephen King. King really enjoys watching this one. I can see why, starting with the dialogue at the beginning, very amusing with Tina and everything. But then, it kind of falls apart towards the end.
I really only watched until Tina was murdered.
Yes. So you saw a little bit beyond that, I think.
So I saw the googly-eyed monsters.
Yes.
And I thought that was very funny.
There are these suits with googly eyes. And
they're rubber suits. So
they kind of
have a funny jiggle.
Yeah, they look kind of goofy. Yeah, and the one in particular, I don't think both of... I think there are two monster heads that are used, but one of them looks like it has,
hot
dogs, sticking out of its mouth as, tongues or something.
It's really funny.
And you mentioned during a scene where, we'll just say what happens. Tina is, killed and attacked early on. Mm-hmm. Did you already say that?
I did say that.
I think you did.
Yeah.
So, But yes, you mentioned that when she's getting attacked, that it looks like chocolate syrup
instead of blood.
And it was, Nicole.
Are you serious?
So you called it. Yes. It was chocolate syrup that they used. Yes. Instead of like fake blood. Because, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a black and white movie, so you can't tell, really. What Although Nicole's eyes were pretty sharp.
Because I'm like, knew. It looks like chocolate syrup.
She knew she wanted to lick that chocolate syrup.
Gross.
Ugh. So just as a kind of a quick waste of time, you can watch The Horror of Party Beach on Amazon Prime if you'd like. Okay. It's currently up there. And, you know, at least some of it, watch until Tina gets killed and, like, you know, that's enough.
It was, I mean, that was enough for me, but I thought that was, I thought up until then I was having a good time.
It's fun
for a while.
I just
had to go to bed because I had to go to work.
Oh my gosh. There's a biker gang in the movie. You know, 60s biker gangs, that's trouble. You know, we're going to talk about another movie in a moment with another biker gang. That one's in the 80s because in the 80s, biker gangs were a lot of problems as well. Okay, Nicole, one more movie. This one you did watch to completion, I believe.
I did, yes.
Unless you fell asleep. You may have been dozing off toward the end. I'm not sure.
No, I saw the whole thing.
But what is this one called, Nicole?
This one's called Nightmare Beach from 1988.
Yes, and it might be 1989. Anyway, its video premiere on VHS Video, Nicole, was in 1990. It is also known as Welcome to Spring Break. So this is definitely a spring break movie taking place in Florida at, according to the police cars, Manatee Beach, Florida.
Florida, okay.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of drinking, lots of people in swimming suits. It looks like spring break.
There's definitely some raunchy stuff going on this, too.
Yeah.
They had some wet t-shirt contests. Oh. The one guy talks about how he's, like, on the beaver patrol and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, he tries to force, like, all these condoms on the one, his buddy. Hey, you gotta use all these condoms by the time spring break's over. So, yeah, there's definitely some of your Club Dread raunchiness going on in Nightmare Beach here, too, Nicole.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was that funny.
Well, no. This one on IMDb, Nicole, listed as straight up horror. That's
straight
it.
Up horror.
Just straight up horror. I didn't say it was funny. You're just comparing it to Club Dread, and right. You think that's funny. So that doesn't mean every movie is funny just because Club Dread is funny. So, Nightmare Beach. I have no idea what the budget for Nightmare Beach was. I can't really find any kind of details about that. And it didn't really have like a wide theatrical release or anything like that, if any at all. So I don't have any kind of, like, you know, information about what kind of money it made at the box office or anything either. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to, like, be satisfied with the information that I can give you, okay?
All right.
I know. It's very disappointing. Here's what IMDb says about the plot summary. After the execution of a motorcycle gang leader convicted of murder, a helmeted biker goes on a killing spree during spring break in Florida. And yeah, that's pretty much it. The movie starts off with an execution.
Right.
Yes, the motorcycle gang leader who is Diablo or El Diablo or something.
Yeah, I think it's Diablo.
Yeah, he's put in the electric chair.
Right.
Because he's accused of killing one of the character's sisters. Her name is Gail, played by Sarah Buxton, who still does acting today, Nicole. Can you believe that in the year 2012, Sarah Buxton was in one episode of the television series Glee? Yeah, Nicole, it's true.
Okay.
So, yes. Then you have this biker gang. And the biker gang, they're called the Demons.
Right.
And on the backs of their jackets, they essentially have the logo from the movie Demons.
That's funny.
On their motorcycle jackets, which I kind of got a kick out of that.
That is funny.
It is funny. Demons. Do you know what Demons is? Have you seen that movie before?
Yes, I've seen that movie.
You know what? We should probably cover that on the podcast sometime. That would be a good time.
Okay.
You have Nicholas DeToff who plays the main character, Skip. And he later on became like an editor, apparently, and edited like Terminator 3 and some other movies. So yeah, it's kind of, I always think it's interesting to see.
I think he did a fair job.
Where these people's careers go.
He starts out in acting and then moves on to more production.
Moves on to some editing and things like that. Anyway, yeah, he starts off as an actor and then he goes on to doing some editing. Anyway, yeah, he's not great in the movie. No. He's fine, but whatever. John Saxon is in this one too. Blood Beach John Saxon. Yeah. You got John Saxon in Nightmare Beach playing the character Stryker, another officer. Another
police officer.
Michael Parks plays Doc Willett, who's a doctor. That's why his name's Doc. See, Nicole?
Yes, Doc I understand. Willett,
doctor. You know, Michael Parks, we talked about him being in the movie The Savage Bees, I believe is the one he was in our B episode. And yes, we talked about how he has kind of a nice voice and how Quentin Tarantino later used him in some of his movies. And, you know, I didn't remember that in most of the movies that he appears in for Quentin Tarantino, he plays the same character every time. He always plays like a Texas Ranger, Earl McGraw. So he plays that character in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Uh-huh.
He plays that character in Kill Bill. He plays that character in Death Proof, the Grindhouse movies, Death Proof and Planet Terror. So, yeah, and then he pops his beginning in something else. But, yeah, he almost always plays the same character, Earl McGraw, which is kind of amusing. Anyway, yes. And then you have Lance LeGault, who plays the character Reverend Bates, who also his daughter, not the actor Lance LeGault, but Reverend Bates,
Reverend Bates' daughter,
pops up in the movie multiple times. And, yes, he's always kind of saying, you know, like, You should pray with me. Come pray with me. And she's like, Dad, I'm not going to church anymore. And she's like going out for spring break, of course, and, you know, drinking beer and things like that, which he doesn't approve of. But yeah, Lance LeGault played the character Colonel Decker on the A-Team.
That's He was always
chasing the A-Team on the series, the A-Team.
He hated them.
You remember that? Yes. He hated the A-Team. And then he later played a character, Alamo Joe Rogan, in the show Werewolf. Do you remember a show Werewolf toward the end of the 80s?
No.
It was on Fox?
Maybe not.
Mm. It's hard to come by. So if we ever get an opportunity to watch Werewolf, maybe we'll give it a try sometime.
Definitely.
But anyway, he's in the show. So this movie is kind of just your typical kind of classic, like, you know, slasher movie with kind of like weird elements thrown in.
Right.
This is an Italian production. So you have, like we said, the biker gang leader gets executed. And then the bikers are kind of, you know, out for revenge. They're like, anybody they can pick on, they want to pick on. So they're suspects, of course.
Right, of course.
So people keep getting killed. We early on, and I hadn't seen this one before either.
I haven't seen this one, and I was actually surprised by the killer.
You were surprised usually by the killer.
Usually I can pick it out, you know.
What's that, like, say who the killer is?
I'm not going to say, but usually, you know, in movies you can figure it out before. I really just, it kind of threw me for a loop.
I actually thought it was going to be a different person. But anyway, so early on, the first killing, someone is picked up as a hitchhiker and gets on the back of this stranger's motorcycle.
Right.
And the gimmick here is that it's like electrified. So she gets on the back of the motorcycle, he hits a big button on the front of the bike, and then she gets electrocuted. Yeah, it's all burned up.
It electrocutes her, and then he, like, pushes her off.
Yeah, which leads you to believe that has, like, Diablo returned from the dead?
Right.
Because he was electrocuted in the electric chair, of course, at the beginning. So, then, yeah, you have these other, like, you have weird subplots in this one with weird characters that keep popping up. You have the character who's, of course, you know, it's like slasher movie, you know, a staple, you have to have it, is that you got, like, the prankster who, like,
keeps,
you know, like, the one time he's got, like, a shark fin on and he's swimming in the water, and they're going to shoot at him in the water, and he's like, wait, no, it's just a joke. Why can't anybody take a joke? And another time he's, like, in the pool, and it looks like he's been killed, and of course he's not really. And then another time, you know, he looks like He's been dead for a while. He has like makeup on that looks like
white gray makeup on.
And then too, he's like, oh, yeah, you guys can't take a joke. So you got the classic prankster subplot. Then you have like this subplot with a thief that like keeps stealing money from people.
Right.
Like he's talking to some girls on the beach. And then like, I think it's when the shark fin incident happens. Like they all run down to see what's going on. And then like, they leave their wallets there, and of course he steals them, so he steals the wallets. Then they're, like, drinking in a bar or something, and, like, some guys all have their money out on, like, a table. And he, you know, as soon as there's a distraction, an opportunity, he steals that money, too.
You've got the hooker.
Yes, the grifter hooker character.
Yeah.
Who, we were like, she's a grifter, but then it looks like...
Well, she's giving him something.
Maybe she's actually a hooker.
She just has a different story for each one of her, you know, her hooks.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. So she's hooking out of the hotel, and the hotel manager has like a peephole that looks into her room. So he's like, you know, that's another subplot. Yeah. Creepy hotel manager, you know, peeping into the hole with a peeping into the room with a peephole.
So all these characters you get to know do end up getting murdered.
Yeah, they all, you know, these are just like fodder for the killer. Yeah, they all end up getting offed, of course. Yeah. But yeah, the electric chair on the motorcycle, that was the thing to me that was like really shocking. And
I think we both looked at each other and went like, whoa!
And they used that a couple times, of course. That's like, you know, the gimmick there early on. But yeah, overall, Nightmare Beach, I thought was, it was fun to some degree. This one, too, like, it runs 1 hour and 30 minutes,
probably 20 minutes too long.
Yeah, it loses some steam toward the end. Like, it's fun, and, like, it has bad dialogue, and, like, some of the people, like, it makes no sense. How does this guy know that this woman's, like, acting as a hooker in his hotel? I guess he's just watching and observing, but how does the killer know? Why does the killer care? And, like, I don't know.
Right, right.
It seems to be totally disconnected.
And, like, we don't know for sure she's a hooker. I mean, but they give her money.
It sure seems that way to me, Nicole. So this movie, it's directed by Harry Kirkpatrick. But perhaps that is someone named James Justice. And at one point, it was thought that it was directed by Umberto Lenzi. So and apparently
there's some confusion on who directed
been some confusion over the years about this. So Umberto Lenzi, he's kind of known mostly for doing Italian movies, a lot of westerns, a lot of giallos, which we'll talk about what giallos are at some point in the future, when we'll probably do an episode about that if we haven't talked about it already. But he did a movie called Sacrifice in 1972, also known as The Man from Deep River, Eyeball in 1975, Eaten Alive, a cannibal gross out in 1980, and then he did one called Nightmare City in 1980. And then, Nicole, do you remember this time that we went to see the Lucio Fulci movie at a midnight screening at the Tivoli Theater in St. Louis?
Yes.
Technically, University City, Missouri, but still. And before we saw the movie was called The Beyond. We saw the movie The Beyond, and our friend Natalie
came with us.
Was with us, and really, she just went along to go shopping in St. Louis.
But she's definitely afraid of horror movies.
Yeah, she has no love for horror movies at all. So I feel like, she was covering her eyes the entire time when she was in the movie. But before The Beyond, they showed a trailer because the trailer was released, or the movie, The Beyond, this re-release, was done by Grindhouse Pictures.
Yeah.
And it was, like, sponsored, presented by Quentin Tarantino. That's this, like, it was this series of midnight showings that they were doing for The Beyond. So, before the movie, they showed a trailer, a preview for the Umberto Lenzi movie, Cannibal Ferox.
Oh, yes.
From 1981. And just the trailer alone,
I said, no, I'm never watching
that. Yeah, like, oh my God, like, it is, yes. It is definitely, as they say, a Red Band trailer. Heavy, heavy R trailer. Because there is so much violence in just the trailer.
It was horrible.
And it's crazy. But anyway, so he has come out and said that he did not actually direct Nightmare Beach. He said that he was there. He was set to direct it, but then he had some sort of disagreement with the producers, so he was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing this movie. But the person who ended up directing it, which apparently is Harry Kirkpatrick or James Justice, depending on what his real name is, I don't know. On the print that we watched, it was listed at the end as Harry Kirkpatrick, but it's weird when you look at like the IMDb listing, both Umberto Lenzi and James Justice are listed as names for Harry Kirkpatrick. Harry Kirkpatrick is an alias for both of them, so it's very strange. But yes, he's come out and said that he did not direct it, but he did stay on the movie at the request of the person who actually directed it as just sort of an advisor. So he said that he was there as an advisor on the movie. But yeah, so yeah, kind of an interesting background to the who actually directed it.
Yeah.
Apparently, Lindsay was involved in some of the writing of the movie. Yeah, but anyway, so Nightmare Beach has kind of a weird little history about it. You know, at some point, we're going to have to talk about some of these Italian gore movies. We're going to have to watch some of them and talk about them.
Sure.
Like, we got to do some Lucio Fulci at some point. We're going to have to do, like, Dario Argento at some point,
okay.
Right? We're probably not going to do Cannibal Ferox. I won't make you do that one. But at some point, we'll have to talk about some of them. Since this is the last segment before the closing, Nicole.
Okay.
Let's talk about a mass or murder. These movies, let's go down the list, okay?
Okay.
So, a mass or murder, Nicole. Club Dread. What are you going to do with that one? Are you going to go into a mass Club Dread or are you going to murder Club Dread?
I'm
going
to amass it.
You're going to amass that one automatically by a mile, huh?
Yes.
Club Dread, Nicole's favorite movie of all time. I, too, will amass that one. Although I do think it is probably the weakest of the Broken Lizard movies that I've seen.
The next movie.
The next movie, Nicole, which was called Blood Beach. What are you going to do with that one,
Nicole?
That's
getting murdered.
You're murdering that one?
Yeah. I don't have to see it again.
Poor Blood Beach. That's terrible. But no, yes, I would definitely murder that one, too. Boy, what a letdown that one was. Classic case of the video cover catches the eye. And it sticks with you for like 35 years. And then you finally see the movie and what a pile of garbage.
What a pile of garbage.
Man. Then, the horror of Party Beach. You didn't really finish that
one. I didn't finish
it. So you're not qualified
to
make a judgment. I will go ahead and murder that one. You know, it is enjoyable for like, you know, the first, I don't know, 30 minutes or so at least. So, give it a watch. I'm pretty sure it was done by the Mystery Science Theater 3000 people.
Uh-huh.
Like, they spoofed it. So, maybe even just watch that version and have a good time with the MST3K people, you know.
Yeah.
Making fun of the horror of Party Beach. So, Nightmare Beach, then, is the last opportunity. What are you going to do with that one? You going to mass it? You going to murder it?
You know what? I think Nightmare Beach was not as bad as any of those other beach movies.
You're still going to murder it. Okay.
But I kind of enjoyed watching it the first time.
Yeah.
But I don't need to watch it again.
I feel like it's one that I will want to revisit at some point. So I'm going to amass that one. But it's right on the edge. Because,
okay.
No, it's not very good, but I feel like, yeah, it's just it drags on a little bit too long, but I feel like there are elements of it that I'm going to want to see again that I enjoyed. Not the wet t-shirt contest, Nicole.
Oh, come
on. I'm talking about that motorcycle with the electric chair. I want to see that again. But yeah, so anyway, there are elements of it that were amusing to me, so I feel like I would watch that again.
Okay.
So I'll amass it, but it's borderline. It's not a high recommendation. For sure, Nicole.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
As soon as I can, I'm getting out of here.
Nicole, are you ready to close out this episode?
Close it up, Craig.
Boy, what have we been doing to ourselves? So we, you know, we watched the B movies, which, like, you regretted that. You regretted that. You were like, oh, man, you know, like, yeah, this was a big mistake. Then we did Independence Day and Uncle Sam.
I know.
And, like, that was, like, it was totally lopsided because Uncle Sam we weren't that crazy about.
Yeah.
And then now we watch these beach movies because you wanted to see Club Dread so badly. And then, like, I forced you to watch, like, these other ones. And most of them weren't, you know, like,
pile of poo.
Yeah, weren't particularly great. Poo. That's Nicole's very innocent way of saying poop or, you know, something like that. Just say poo. A little bit of poo, Nicole.
Pile of poo. I know. So I've not been thrilled with our choices lately.
Yeah,
we're going to have to bring it
these last few episodes. Boy, I don't know.
They've been kind of a pile of poo.
Yes, back to the poo again. Lots of poo all around.
Yes.
Well, Nicole.
Except for Club Dread. That one was.
Of course, that's your favorite movie of all time. So, what we had planned for the rest of the summer, Nicole, is we're going to do a series of episodes, probably four different episodes, that we're going to call the Summer of Clive.
Summer of Clive.
So some episodes about Clive Barker, specifically Clive Barker movies.
Okay.
And we're going to start off with the next episode, Nicole, is going to be, this is a movie that is being remade or has been remade and is going to be released very soon. They say it's now coming out in October. We'll see if it gets pushed back again. You know,
Yeah. These
movies keep getting delayed and pushed back. But the movie we're talking about is Candyman. So we're going to talk about the original Candyman with our first Summer of Clive episode.
Okay.
So a focus on Candyman. And then later on, we're going to talk about another Clive Barker movie, book.
Combo?
Combination.
Okay.
And then maybe another, and then maybe another.
Okay.
We'll just kind of keep revealing these as we go.
Okay.
We don't have to spill all the beans right now.
Okay.
Okay. How does that sound? Do you think that might sound a little bit better overall as far as quality?
Sounds a little more exciting.
I feel like the level of quality will pick up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
In what we're watching.
Good.
Maybe not the show here itself, but at least what we'll be watching will be a little bit better.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Well, Nicole, we better wrap this up because you might still want to watch The Slammin' Salmon.
Yeah, I got to go.
And it's getting late.
It's getting late.
You're going to have to go to work.
Okay.
Okay. So, what do you want to do here, Nicole?
Well, I think we better tell them where they can find us.
Oh, yeah? Where can they find us?
On Facebook.
On Facebook? They can find us on the page, A Cure for the Common Craig.
Instagram.
Instagram, they can find us at Cure for the Common Craig.
Twitter,
you can find us at Common Craig.
And the website.
We do have a website, and that is cureforthecommoncraig.com. Click on the A Mass or Murder button on the splash page. That'll take you to all the episodes. Then you can listen to all the episodes. And then you can give us some feedback on the episodes.
Yeah.
Yes. And what you should do is you should tell us some of your favorite summertime horror movies. When you think of summertime, you think of horror, maybe science fiction. You can throw some action in there.
Sure.
Throw some trash in there. That's fine, just like the horror of Party Beach. That was definitely trash, right? Well, uh-huh. So was Nightmare Beach, too.
Yeah.
Blood Beach, it wasn't trashy enough. But, yes, let us know some of your favorites for summer horror. How about that, Nicole?
Sounds great.
And you know what? If you do, if you send us some feedback, give us some comments, maybe you'll get one of these stickers that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
You want a Common Craig sticker?
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. Of course you do. Then, yeah, give some feedback, give some comments, and maybe you'll get your hands on one of those stickers if we talk about your comments on the show. Nicole's showing one of the stickers, but you can't see it because this is an audio-only show. So good try, Nicole.
Thanks.
Well, Nicole, I guess we'll have to come back and visit these listeners another time.
Sounds good.
Okay. Good night, Nicole.
Good night.
Chose himself a pretty prawn. Cal preferred a dolphin. Naughty Cal and his pals riding the waves to somewhere. Lying low, they blew all their dough and ended up nowhere. Pulled their shit together, cleaned themselves all up, and set out on their way. They heard some talk about buried treasure. Octopus guarding the river bed. Before you knew it, the fun was over, cause Bongo and Toki were dead. I guess it seems that everybody's looking to find their own paradise, but it ain't on earth, it's up there in heaven. Someday we're all gonna die.